Welcome to Medicine Trails, a life in many worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled Ceremonies.
Ceremonies. The Pikiawish ceremony is to put the world in balance and make things right that have gone wrong over the past year. This is our world renewal ceremony when the fish and the people are prayed for. The white deerskin dance takes place every other year during Pikiawish, and on those years you can just get an extra blessing. The white deerskin dance takes about 10 days overall, but the dance only takes about 5 of those days. The medicine man serves as long as he wants to, or until he can find someone else dedicated enough to carry out those responsibilities. The medicine man chooses the Fetewinen and prays with the man he has chosen. And this Fetewinen fasts for 2 or 3 days and then starts going on all the various medicine trails. There are 57 miles of medicine trails around Orleans, which was the old village of Panomnik. He brings the power down to the river and prays for the fish, then goes to the sweat house where he spends a night and a day. Then there is a dance, and the next day he goes out on another trail and prays for the fish again. And there's another dance at the sweat house. The next day, he goes out on another set of trails. One of the Fetewinen told me that it's really dangerous coming down because you're not really clear-minded. And you're running along the trail like you're half-dreaming. And you'll catch yourself because you almost stepped off a bluff. The trail may have been there at one time, but it caved off, and now you have to go around and pick your way down and find the trail again. It takes a lot of strength to be a Fetewinen because they don't travel that trail the way I do. They have to do it in this world, and it's a lot harder. Like my Aunt Caroline said, when she went out to Dr. Rock to pick up her doctor medicine, and she and the women with her were going along the trail, she said she could feel the trail moving under her feet, and she was going a lot faster than she could walk. She was quite certain she was not in her ordinary form. She knew that she could not get there that fast physically herself. She'd been fasting for 3 days by then. The jump dance is to place the importance of your family over the importance of yourself. Placing your family between yourself and the Creator. To begin the jump dance, the medicine boy catches the first fish and gives it to the medicine woman. She cooks the fish and leaves it for the medicine man. He doesn't need the medicine woman to be there to serve him. She just cooks the fish and leaves. The boy is already gone. He just gave her the fish to cook. After the fish is cooked, she puts it on a big round basket tray with ferns on it and walks away. Then the medicine man comes down and eats as much of the fish as he can, and then he digs a hole and buries what is left. Then he crosses the river in a boat and goes to a Mikiarum and walks up the hill to a rock that has hieroglyphics of fish and bones all over it. The rock has a crack in it, about a foot wide, and the medicine man sings and dances and prays for the fish on this rock. When he finishes at dawn, he puts his torch out in the crack in the rock, and you can see the carbon there where it's been done for centuries. When that is done, he crosses the river again, and the medicine man begins fasting and praying and goes to Elk Valley with the medicine woman and the medicine girl. They stay in seclusion until the dance starts. The medicine man doesn't eat from the time he ate the fish until the dance is over, 10 days later. The medicine man and the medicine woman fast for 10 days. The others only fast for 3 days. all of the medicine people have, not a personal relationship, but an amicable relationship with each other. The medicine woman doesn't tell the medicine man what he's supposed to do, and he doesn't tell the medicine woman what she's supposed to do. He assumes you know what you're doing and why you're doing it. My main job as the Fate and Weenan's woman is to make the world a happy place, this world right here on the Klamath River, that people have peace and are happy with each other. So when people have problems and anxieties and are fighting with each other, leaving each other, or just having any kind of vehement problems, my job and my training outside of the World Renewal Picky Hours training is to make people content with what they have or what their life is or what the circumstance of their life is. So you give them another outlook on their life. A person might be looking at life from a certain negative direction and be in the pits, but after talking with me, then they know they are freer than they had been thinking they were and can get jobs and do things to get on with their lives. I accomplish this by giving them another mindset, just talking and telling them things. I remember a couple that always fought. All their life together, they argued constantly for about 20 years. Then the woman found somebody else, and the husband asked me if it was true, because he had heard that his woman was seeing another man. I told him that I had heard the same thing, but I had never seen it, so I couldn't tell him positively that she's going around with someone else, because I just heard gossip, and sometimes gossip's wrong. And I told him that if she is seeing someone else, you don't know, it might be the best thing that ever happened to you. You may find a more contented life and be happier without her. Now, you just think it's terrible because you love this person and you don't want to lose her, but it might be a good thing. He kind of didn't like hearing that. It was giving him a little bit too bitter a taste. But after he found out that it was so, when he left her, he found another woman to live with that he didn't argue with all the time. He came back to see me and told me that he kind of got mad with me the time I told him that it might be a good thing and he might be happier. Now when I look back at it, it was a good thing. One of the better things that happened to me was that she left me because I became happier for the rest of my life. I don't regret having the children with her, but I'm happier now than I was then. So that's how you change people's minds. After I was sealed, I wasn't quite as obedient as I'd been when those old ladies were controlling my mind. I think they were controlling my mind. I'm not sure, but I feel like there was a big difference in my reactions because they let up a little bit and weren't totally controlling my mind any longer. Anyway, when I would do something that Auntie didn't approve of, I remember her looking at me, and I would have a feeling of what she thought about what I'd done, her disappointment. I felt that she was telling me what was right and what was wrong, and I think now that she wasn't talking to me, she was using telepathy, but I did not realize this until close to the end of her life. She just looked at me, and what she thought, I felt. I knew what she thought because she was telling me mentally. She didn't move her mouth. I just remember her eyes. There are probably some young people being trained now. I haven't trained any. I haven't been called to train any. I think people are into drugs too damn much anyway to train. We had enough problems before contact, and now we have more. We have their kind of problems and our kind of problems.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called The Ability to Heal. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, the stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Lura Cooper.